Welcome to our Bible class this morning. My name is Scott Dang. For those who don't know me, so excited this morning I'm able to share with you the book of Judges. You know, we've been studying the book of Judges last 4 or 5 weeks, and it's been awesome. So, you know, I just want to review for those who have not been here. We've been studying the book of Judges. The book of Judges is a time period between the end of Joshua and the beginning of King Saul. And during this time, God used men and women to help lead the Israelites when they were in trouble. You know, the judges were the political leaders. They were not just people who in court, you know, deciding who's guilty or not. They're named judges because, you know, they're leaders of the Israelites during this time. So you remember we had this cycle of sin. You know, after the Israelites, they had a peace. You know, they followed God. They had a spiritual leader. You know, they had peace for 40 years. And then after Joshua died, the elders died, people went back to their sin, the sin of idolatry. Last week we talk about why people worship idols, right? It was easy. There was no commitment. People can do whatever they want. So when the spiritual leaders died, they went back to worshiping idols. And then Israel was enslaved. And they cry out to God. And God raises up the judges to rescue them. And remember these judges we study, we looked at so far? The first judge that God sent to was Othniel. And then he delivered them from King Aram, king of Aram. And then the next judge was Edhu. He delivered them from the king of Moab. And then he also raised up Shamgar, delivered the Israel from the Philistines. And then Deborah and Barak. Barak was a leader in the army. But Deborah was the prophetess, the judge that led the Israelite from the king of Canaan. And last week we studied Judges chapter 6. Remember, God went and called Gideon while he was threshing out wheat in the wine press. During this time, the Israelites were oppressed by the Midians. They came and ravaged and you know, destroy everything that the Israelites were doing. They oppressed the Israelites for 7 years. And they cry out to God. And God sent them Gideon. You know, when we first studied Gideon, he was threshing wheat in the wine press. He was hiding from the Midians. You know, and they were impoverished for 7 years, and they cry out to God again. And God came to them and delivered them. And we'll see, you know, and God called them, and then Gideon destroyed the idols, the Asherah pole and Baal, right? He did it at night because he was scared. And so we continue. We'll pick up today on chapter 7 of Judges. Before we start, let's have a prayer. Father God, thank you so very much for this morning. We're so grateful to be able to come here today to learn about your word. Father, we're so honored. We're so privileged, God, that we have your word to study and to be guided, God. Father, we need you so much. We need your word every day, Father. I pray that your word will touch our hearts this morning. I pray that, God, that we'll be changed. men and women. I pray that we can learn from your word, from the experience of the people that went before us, that we do not make the same mistakes that they did, Father. Father, give us wisdom, give us discernment to live our lives worthy to be your disciples, God. Father, be with me this morning as I lead the study this morning, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go to Judges chapter 7. Remember, last part of Judges, you know, God confirmed, Gideon was testing God with this fleece. Remember? He said, okay, God, I want to make sure that you're with me. Now make this fleece that I have here dry and the ground wet. And God did that, right? Okay. Let me one more time. Please don't be mad at me. Okay? Let the ground dry and the fleece wet, and God did it. God confirmed to him that he's with him and was very patient with him. Okay, let's go to chapter 7. We'll pick up. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley, near the valley of Moreh. So I have a map here this morning. So they hear Herod, and the camp of the Midian was right here at the north of them in the valley of Jezreel. Okay. So the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel will boast about against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce the army. Anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remain. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So the Midian took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps with those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from the cup hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down to their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lap, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300, who took over the provision and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up. Go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah and his servant went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other Eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. The camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friends responded, this can be nothing other than the word of Gideon, son of the sword of Gideon, son of Josh, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites, the whole camp, into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream of its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp to Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Okay. So, you know, God, you know, Gideon had 32,000 men with him. Okay? And God said, you have too many men. All right? If anyone is trembling, first of all, he said, you have too many men. If they won this battle, They'll say, okay, this is my strength. I did it. So you say, okay, those who are trembling, let them go home. 22,000 left. Okay? You know, the Mosaic law said, you know, there's some exemption for military exemption. There are four things. You know, if you just got married, okay, you are exempted from going to the military. Or if you just built a home, you have not enjoyed your home, you are exempted. Okay? If you just planted a vineyard, or if you are, the first one, if you are engaged to be married, you can be exempted, not you married. If you're engaged to be married. And then if you're fearful, you're exempted. That's the Mosaic law. I'm not sure what the law is right now, but that was their law back then. That if you have these things, you don't have to go to war. Isn't it amazing? God said, okay, those who are trembling, go home. Why do you think God wants it that way? Let's have a discussion. Why do you think if you're trembling, just go home? Sorry? Okay, you're fearful and not trusting God. What else? It would discourage the other. All right, discourage. It would discourage other men. Okay, so you know, we can see. We can see our action, our attitude, our behavior affect other people. Yep. You know, how we are will affect the people around us. You know, are we affecting other people positively or negatively? But we have some kind of effect. You know, our speech, our behavior, our attitude will affect the people around us, our spouse, our children. They will feel it. Sometimes we don't have to say things, but through our actions, they can see how we are like. Or our surrounding can affect us also. You know, our surrounding. Do we have spiritual people around us to help us? Do we hang out with the people who can help us? Do we have people who are strong in our lives to encourage us, to teach us, to discipline us, to teach us about our children? You know, in Proverbs 13, verse 20, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Okay? Whether we want it or not, we'll be influenced by our surrounding. Especially our children. Our children are so easily influenced by their surrounding, by their friends. Do we know who our children are hanging out with? Do we put strong spiritual children around our children? Or do we just let them go wherever they want? You know, as Christians, we are chosen by God to be in His army. You know that? We are chosen. It's not a physical battle that we're in. It's a spiritual battle. In 2 Timothy verse 2, 3, Paul says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather try to please his commanding officer." As Christians, we are in a spiritual battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, he said, "Put on your full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Do you realize that you're in a spiritual battle? If you don't, you're in trouble. Because when we're going out into a battle, we cannot be unequipped. We cannot just go into a battle with no armor on. We're going to get killed. What is the expectation of a soldier? Anybody who's in the military? What's the expectation? Always ready. Obey the commander. Okay, good. Discipline. Highly disciplined. You got to be alert when you go into the battle. Right? You better go, watch out. You know, the bomb is coming. You got to have your comrades around you. Right? You cannot go out of the battle by yourself. Right? You want somebody who's brave around you. You want somebody who's focused. Because your life is on the line. The same thing, spiritual battle. Do you have people, you have comrades in your life? Or are you there out there by yourself? You know, the Bible said the devil is like a lion roaring, seeking for someone to devour. If you know the lion is out there, are you going to go out there by yourself with no armors on? Okay. You know, verse 15. When Gideon heard the dream, you know, he went down to the camp. And he heard these guys had a dream. And God confirmed to him that he's going to give this battle to him. And all he did was got down and worshiped God. He was sure that God has delivered these Midianites into his hand. That's what he did. He bowed down and prayed and worshiped God. You know, God's battle has won. God has won the battle. If we just, all God wants is for us to just worship him and obey him, and we will be victorious at the end. We just got to hang on to God. The battle's won, guys. Right. We're on the winning side. Do you believe that? We're on the winning side. All we need is to worship God and have reverence for him. Just stick close to him and we'll be home one day. All right, let's go read verse 16. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets, empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them, "follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch. Just after they had changed the guard, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew their trumpet and smashed the jars, grasping the torch in their left hands and holding on to their right hand the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused men throughout the camp to turn in each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Sita and towards Zerzura as far as the border of Abel-Mehola near Tabeth. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all the Manasseh were called out. They were through the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim saying, "Come down against the Midianites, seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them, as far as Beth Barar." So all of the men of Ephraim were called out and seized the water of the Jordan as far as Beth Barar. They too captured two of the Midianites' leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the head of Oreb, Zeb, to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. So God said, "All right, let's go. Let's." 300 men, Gideon told them, let's go and attack. This is what you do. Okay, we're going to divide in three groups. Okay, each group, 100 men. Okay, follow what I do, okay? When I go to the edge of the camp, I'm going to blow the trumpet and smash the jars and shout. That's all you do. Okay, he didn't say to bring your sword or anything like that, right? Okay, so I don't know what kind of strategy that was. That was kind of strange, right? Going to war, just smash the pots and blow the horn and shout. It reminds us of the battle, of the Jericho wall, right? They just walk around the wall for 7 days and shout and blow the horn and the wall fell down. This is the same thing. You know, just do what I say. And they did it. And they shouted, you know, for the Lord and for Gideon. And the camp, you know, they got confused. And they killed each other. They didn't do anything. Right? The Israelites didn't do anything. All they did was blow the horn and have a great time seeing these guys killing each other. That was all God. And the Midianite fled. So this was where the battle was, and so the people who were alive, they fled. You know, the Bible said there were like numerous men and camels were coming against the Israelites, and then they fled. They calculated probably 135,000 Midianites that were there. So the one who survived fled. Okay. All right. I didn't mean to turn that off. All right. So they fled. You see that? So they went all the way down here to Kakar. And let's go to chapter 8. Now, verse 4. We cannot read the whole thing because of time. Let's go to verse 4. It says, Gideon and his 300 men, exalted, yet kept on keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it. And they called their brothers, the other Israelites to come to help them and capture the leaders. Verse 8. Now Zeba and Zalmanunna, verse 10, I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse 10, were in Kakar with a force of about 15,000 men, all that were left of the armies of the eastern peoples. 120,000 swordsmen had fallen. So 120,000 had fallen, 15,000 still left. And 300 men pursuing them. Gideon went up about the route of Normet, verse 11, east of Norbah and Jogbeha, and attacked the unsuspecting army. Zeba and Somuna, the two kings of Midian, fled, but he pursued them and captured them, routing them an entire army. The Israelite, verse 22, let's go down to verse 22. The Israelites said to Gideon, "Rule over us, your son and your grandson." So they were victorious. Okay, they captured the kings. Asked Gideon, "Rule over us, you, and your son, and your grandson, because you saved us from the hand of Midian." But Gideon told them, verse 23, "I will not rule over you. You will, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." The Israelites did not, you know, so when they were victorious, they did not realize it was God who delivered them. And they want Gideon to rule over them instead of giving praise to God. Give God the glory that they have won the battle. And Gideon said, "I'm not going to rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." You know, people love to have other people rule over them. They love people to rule over them instead of God. People follow men instead of God. They like to come to church, look for a church that they have a good preacher, a good, you know, a good leader who has personality, but not seeking God as their leader. You know, we can do the same thing. We are attracted to people who has the personality, instead of looking for God. You know, when we rely on people to lead us, we'll be disappointed. Because leaders, men, are sinful. They will make mistakes. But if we have God as our leader, God does not change. God is always the same. No matter what kind of leader we have, we've got to focus on God as our leader. Leaders come and go. And the people who follow these leaders will go too. You know, man cannot fulfill us. Only God can fulfill us, our needs. And verse 24 says, he said, I do have one request. Verse 24, chapter 8. "I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder." It was a custom of the Ishmaelites to wear gold ring and to go earrings. You know who the Ishmaelites are? You remember Abraham had two wives, right? He had Sarah and his servant, and the servants, right? And they had Sarah had first, you know, first the servant delivered gave him a son, Ishmael. All right. So the Midianites also came from the line of Abraham. They were brothers. I mean, they came from Abraham descendant. They were descendants of Abraham. The Ishmaelites were the descendants of Abraham. So Gideon asked them for the gold earring, because, you know, he wanted to make. Let's read verse 26. We'll see what he wants here. The weight of the gold ring he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants, and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains that were on their camel's neck. Gideon made the gold into an ephod, which he placed in Ophir, his town. All Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there. It became a snare to Gideon and his family. You know, so he asked this gold, so he make an ephod. An ephod is an ornament garment worn by the priest, the high priest. They wear it in front of them, an ephod. But he made an ephod out of gold. You know, he said they had 1,700 shekels, that which is about 42 pounds. What would you do with 42 pounds on your body, you know? It's not for wearing. But why did he do that? Anybody? Any insights? 42 pounds of effort of gold. Wow, that's exactly. I think that's, you hit it there. You know, he just like a gold trophy, right? I say, I won this battle. He has his gold trophy. He wants people to be reminded that he won that. He won recognition. Do you think so? Why would he want to make this effort of gold? He wants the glory to himself. And what happened after that? It became a snare to Gideon and his family. Wow. You know, sometimes people cannot handle success. People cannot handle success. You know, a lot of people are very successful and they mess up their lives. You think of the celebrities, people who are rich, and look at their lives. They die of overdose. You know? I mean, a lot of them mess up. They went under, die young. Mess up the family and their lives. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we ask, God, how come I'm not successful like the world is? How come I'm not rich? How come I'm well off like my neighbors? You know, God is able to do that. God's able to give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. But why doesn't God give us that? I don't think we can handle it. I don't think we can handle God's blessings. He knows all of us, how much we can handle. You know, our human nature is we want power, we want riches, we want, you know, but sometimes we can't handle it. It will take us far from God. You know, God give us enough. God said he give us everything for life and godliness. God has already given us everything that we need. Not we want. And let me ask you, would you give your children whatever they want? Yes? You would ruin their lives. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Proverbs 30, verse 7. It says, you can listen to this. Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I died. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. All right? Think about that. You know, he said, just give me enough to you know, that's all. I just want to, two things. Keep me away from lies. I don't want to lie. Keep falsehoods far from me. Don't give me riches or no poverty. Just give me enough. You know, that, I think that that's a key. I think that's a key to joy and happiness. It's realizing we have enough. Being content. Because if we continue to say, I want this, this, and this, and this, we'll never be happy. He said, just give me enough to live. That's a secret contentment. Okay, so verse 33. No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to Baals. To set up Baal Berith as their god, and did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of their enemies on every side. They also failed to show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in spite of all the good thing he had done for them. So soon, Gideon died. What happened? Okay, this also died. Israelite went back to their sins. Remember the cycle of sin? They went back to worship Baal. They went back again and again. That's a recurring theme of the book of Judges. It's so sad, you know, that they had 40 years of peace, and then they forgot about God. They got comfortable. They just start focusing on themselves. Forgot about God. And when, you know, we'll continue to look in chapter 9 and later on what happened, you know. Anyway, thank you very much for listening this morning. I hope you learned something this morning. And please go pick up your children.